Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Alaska's west coast is bracing for heavy weather. National Weather Service meteorologist Christopher Cox says a Bering Sea storm is moving east toward Alaska.
It's actually the remnants of an old typhoon, Ling Ling. It's moved up all the way from just off the coast of Japan. The storm is much weaker now, but it's going to bring high winds and rain for the Bering Sea coast communities. Especially in the Nome area.
Cox says 55-mile-an-hour wind gusts and periods of heavy rain are forecast for the Bering Sea coast as the front pushes onshore today. Heavy rain is not expected to impact areas beyond the western interior, but the storm will increase the pressure gradient, resulting in high winds along the Alaska Range.
With gusts of 60 miles an hour through and near the passes, and particularly down around Healy, it'll be really strong down there, and then south of Delta Junction.
This morning's Weather Service forecast discussion says Chinook conditions are expected to develop late tonight in the eastern interior, with drier conditions north of the Alaska Range tomorrow and well above normal temperatures going into the weekend. University of Alaska Regents have some big items on the agenda for a two-day meeting in Anchorage. The university is trying to accommodate a $25 million reduction in state support for the current year. And in a weekly video address, UA President Jim Johnson says Regents will get an update on ongoing administrative cost reductions, but will not be asked to decide on whether or not the UA system should go from three separately accredited institutions to one.
We're going to ask them, though, to direct us to conduct program reviews at the system level. So we'll look at all of our major academic areas and libraries and research and public service, e-learning and some others as well, to basically figure out how best to integrate these parts of the university, how we can save administratively, what might be the academic savings when we do that, and then what are the issues that come up under three accreditations or one accreditation.
Johnson says tuition increases as well as faculty and staff pay raises are also on the agenda. A National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration trawler is conducting an annual fish survey in the Bering Sea. KNOM reports that fisheries scientists say they're seeing low numbers of Chinook salmon. Jim Murphy is leading the surface trawl survey.
Yeah, we don't see a large movement because they still basically come out, take a left-hand turn and go south. They could be further north, but I think it's more likely.
Murphy and his research team study the Chinook coming out of the mouth of the Yukon River as they mostly migrate into the Norton Sound and Bering Sea. There's more than a week left in this year's survey, but Murphy says so far numbers of juvenile Chinook have been low, which does not bode well for future returns.
We're clearly seeing movement of Bristol Bay and southern Bering Sea stocks that generally don't come up this far north. We're seeing a lot of them come up north, so we're still catching a lot of salmon, a lot of pinks, a lot of chums, a lot of sockeye, and they're growing very well. There's no real evidence to suggest that there's a lack of prey for them.
Murphy says despite the meager initial sightings, they can't yet determine what it means in terms of Chinook salmon overall abundance, and notes that this is an unusual year with excessively warm water, which could have caused the fish to head farther north. Murphy and his team plan to complete their survey of the Bering Strait and Norton Sound later this month. Climate warming is creating new permafrost lakes across the far north, including in the Fairbanks area.
Right here in Goldstream Valley, we've seen an increase of lake area 40%.
Katie Walter Anthony is an associate professor of water and environmental science at the University of Alaska Fairbanks and an expert on permafrost lakes. Walter Anthony says the overall number and size of the lakes is not increasing in all areas, as thawing also causes older lakes to drain. But she emphasizes that the new lakes emit far more methane into the atmosphere.
If you take an old lake and measure its methane emissions, it's still emitting a lot of methane, but nothing like what a new lake emits. New lakes that have recently formed, they're emitting much higher methane emissions because they're tapping into frozen permafrost that's thawing.
Standing by a small roadside lake near UAF, Walter Anthony says understanding carbon emissions from new lakes can help predict their climate-changing potential.
The thawing of permafrost has been happening for thousands of years. That's not new. But once permafrost thaws, it only releases methane for a certain amount of time. So if we really want to predict the future, the next upcoming decades to by 2100, it is these recently formed lakes that are going to tell us a lot about what to expect.
Walter Anthony is researching the timescale for carbon release from the newly forming permafrost lakes as a driver of future climate warming. Trails are central to a land sale ordinance in front of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly tomorrow night. The land auction ordinance includes 16 parcels, including 20 acres off Pandora Drive in the Gulfstream Valley, which are crossed by part of the Cranberry Trail. The trail will remain public despite sale of the surrounding property, and borough land manager Sandra Mota says an engineering firm has surveyed the trail and easement to prepare for the sale.
We had them survey the existing trail so that we could create a legal description in order to dedicate this as part of this sale before the property is put into private hands.
Mota reviewed the Pandora sale and broader land ordinance with the borough assembly last week, explaining all of the properties come from a municipal entitlement land grant.
These are lands received from the state for the purpose of generating revenue for the borough. We do that by selling these properties, leasing them, granting easements. They also create additional revenue from being included in the tax roll once they become privately owned.
A 167-acre parcel off Petey Road in North Pole has generated a lot of public comment. Cam Webb has led a neighborhood campaign to retain the parcel for public use.
It is full of trails and is used by ATV riders, mushers, snow machiners, hunters, berry pickers, as well as skiers, cyclists, and walkers. It is the only extensive area near North Pole where motorized vehicle recreation is allowed.
Webb testified at an assembly meeting last month. He says many users of the PD parcel plan to be at tomorrow night's meeting to ask the assembly to keep the land open to public use. Bidding in the borough's online land auction starts Saturday and closes October 15th. In an effort to help the public enjoy hundreds of miles of local trails, the North Star Borough challenges hikers, bikers, and ATV riders to get out and explore. KUEC's Robin has more on the Trails Challenge.
The borough is pretty big, and there are so many trails of different lengths and difficulties. Some are a lunchtime walk, some are a weekend backpack trip.
It still can seem kind of hard for people to go and find them or to have a reason to get out and do them or to feel comfortable about where they're going.
Bryant Wright is the Parks and Recreation Department's Trails Coordinator. He says the Trails Challenge was invented as a way to help familiarize users with the possibilities.
We wanted to encourage people to get out and make it a little more fun than just your typical outing on the trails. So we came up with this kind of scavenger hunt idea.
It works like this. The Trails Office handpicks a variety of trails, some short, some long, some easy, some not, some for horses, ATVs or bicycles, and all for walkers. They write descriptions and publish maps and make special signs for each trail in the challenge.
And then we went and hid them along the trails and said, hey, these are out there. Go and find them. Prove you made it. Take a picture. Find as many as you can and kind of get those bragging rights.
This summer's list has 12 trails on it, from a flat 1K loop at the dog park to the 58-mile circle to Fairbanks Historic Trail. The Trails Office has been creating this challenge since 2016, and it has grown.
As of the beginning of September, we have a little more than 300 participants.
And Wright says he expects a lot more to register before this summer's challenge ends on September 30th. If users get to at least 10 of the selected trails, they're eligible for prizes. Wright says feedback from users has helped improve or repair trails and has targeted grant applications for the work. The summer signs will be taken down at the end of this month and relabeled for a new selection of trails for winter. Those signs will go up in December for hikers, skiers, and snow machiners. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
And I'm Dan Bross.